Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source, a spiritual guidebook for navigating life's journey. You're listening to Life Conversations Radio.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Ah, the sound of children playing. Something about hearing children laughing and playing has a way of bringing us joy. When was the last time you played? No children, no work, just stopped and took the time to tap into your inner joy. You're never too old to play. Successful people value their playtime. That's why Divine Arts Productions presents PLAY, Purposefully Loving and Appreciating You, a weekend specially designed with you in mind to help tap into the big kid inside. There'll be dancing, music, video games, pool parties, fireworks, and so much more. To register, go to iwillplay.org. That's iwillplay.org. Give yourself the gift of having fun. I will play, and I will see you there.
Hey folks, it's Jenny Cressman. I've worked in the field of woman abuse for almost 20 years now, and I have a challenge for you. I want to challenge you to help end violence against women. Now that may seem like a big, hairy, scary project, but if we all work together, anything's possible. All I want you to do is talk about it. That's my challenge. Whenever appropriate and safe, tell people that abuse of any kind is absolutely unacceptable. If someone says it's a woman's fault she was abused, or tells a joke that puts women down, call them on it. Stand up, speak out, and stop abuse and violence against women. Just saying that's not right is a big step towards greater equality. You can make a difference. You can help make the world a better place. Just talk about it.
Take a little shortbread, touchy nut bar. How many cheeks? Snickerdoodle shortbread, touchy nut bars. How many cheeks in the cookie jar? One.
Dad, you're supposed to jump over the rope.
One more time.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Thank you.
Becomes the old transformed. It is a new way of living and a new way of loving, moving into a new time. Knowing that the Creator lives through us and showers us with many, many blessings. Self-love is the key to find yourself free, to acknowledge all you have come to be.
Welcome again to the Play Experience. Truly, self-love is the key. Acknowledging it will truly assist you in being all you come to be. We are indeed blessed today to come together once again to share in another Play Experience where we get to solely focus on purposefully loving, appreciating ourselves. That's right. And today we're truly blessed because we have a life enthusiast in the house who is that merged enthusiasm, appreciation, purposefulness, and love. All a wonderful, wonderful alchemy and a wonderful combination, synergistic. The play movement started out as just an idea to address just the need for releasing stress in adults, providing unique and different modalities. It's a toolbox of modalities to assist people to tap in, tune in, and turn on to that part of them that used to feel light, free, airy, somewhat like I feel every time I come on here. It's like somehow I feel just like I'm in a playground. Anything goes. I'm looking forward to our show today. This show, the Play Experience, it always brings the opportunity to present raw, organic, life-changing ideas, conversations, stories, experts, tools, all in the name of purposely loving and appreciating yourself. That's right, yourself. You're included. I find that it takes all bodies, all of our bodies, to be in full balance in order for us to have that real feel-good factor that we're all looking for. My mental, my emotional, my physical, my spiritual bodies all need to be in balance if I am to be whole, if I am to be healed. If any of these are out of alignment, my ultimate health cannot be. It just won't happen. Your health is your wealth. I know you know that. Sometimes we forget it. It's not only what we put in our body, but what we put in our minds, our hearts, and our spirit. And this show is about bringing that all together. You may find us cutting up 1 week, playing, laughing, just kicking it, having ball, crazy in our conversations with listeners. But then the next week, okay, like today, we have an awesome professional, awesome expert, someone who truly loves and is enthusiastic about health and well-being. This playground, it engages everyone to be your own expert of your body, because only you know what's really real with your body. We can only assist you in getting there. We're helping you to remember the things that you've forgotten, because only you really know the truth about you. Sometimes you just have to be led back to it. So today, I have a very special guest in the house, who is a life enthusiast. That's the first time I've ever heard of it. When I saw something about him, he just lit up through the paper, the black and white. I hadn't even seen this picture yet. He's a wellness coach, and he is Martin Pitella. Martin Pitella grew up behind the Iron Curtain in Czechoslovakia. He studied in Prague in the 1970s. He came to Canada as a refugee and worked in the sawmills and warehouses for a few years. After a short career as a clinical hypnotherapist, Martin moved into the computer industry and worked as a trainer and as a sales professional. In later years, he worked as a manager, a management consultant, and information technology consultant. Martin is happily married to the mother of his two adult daughters. Martin is also the CEO and founder of the Life Enthusiast Co-op, an online source of natural solutions for your health and well-being. Everyone, let's welcome with a big hug the Life Enthusiast. Welcome, Martin. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. A great day to you, and welcome to the Play Experience.
Well, you sure have a fine laid out playground here.
Oh, I'm loving this playground. I tell you, every time I come in here, I'm so excited, and I don't know what's going to happen. Just like a playground when you're a child, you just don't know what's going to happen.
Indeed.
So, yes, be ready for everything. So I said some things about you, but I just want to ask you to do one word that describes how you see yourself. This is fun. This is a game. And how one word to say how others see you, and one word to say how you want to be seen. I know that's tough, but it's a game.
Oh, that's, you know, I have so many different roles. I'm a different person to my wife. I'm a different person to
right.
my children. I'm a different person to my clients. I'm a different person to my friends.
Mm-hmm.
So it's I wear many hats.
Yes.
But if you want one thing, I would say passionate.
Okay, that's how you see yourself?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, and how does others see you?
Well, I hope they see the same thing.
Okay, same thing. Okay, and that's how you want to be seen?
I think so. I want to be seen as somebody who picks important battles and makes difference in
okay.
everybody's life.
Absolutely. Well, you're definitely doing that. Okay, so that you got your wish.
I'm willing to stand up and be counted.
That is awesome. Thank you for doing that, too. Well, let's jump right in. Let's talk about health. What does it mean to be healthy? This is a two-part question. And what do you feel are the main causes of people being ill today?
Right.
I know that's a big one, but I want to throw it out there.
Sure, no, I'm willing to tackle it. I think that there is a misperception of what healthy really means. People don't, most people that I talk to, they feel like absence of pain is great. You know, healthy
mm-hmm.
is I don't feel anything particular.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've connected with the Olympics going on right now. I've watched some of the peak performances.
Yes.
And I'm thinking, oh, I'd love to be that fit. And I'm not. And so,
you're talking about the Olympics. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So healthy, you know, it could be just simply absence of pain, absence of whatever. But also it could mean the potential to do anything you want.
Okay.
Which
okay.
is way beyond the reach of most people, I think.
Hmm. So what do you feel are the main causes of people being ill today?
Well, in the modern society, you've actually already said it. I actually believe that most chronic disease is caused by vibrational issues.
Mm-hmm.
I would say maybe 80% of all cause of all trouble in mm-hmm. health and people's aches, pains, and dysfunctions would be in the emotional, spiritual, non-physical realm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I would
mm-hmm.
say it's that disturbance of the subtle organization. So it would be disorganized thoughts, but they could be disorganized by confused emotions or past trauma, whether it's from childhood abuse, or it could be from just disjointed and jumbled relations. And
mm-hmm.
it could also be from the electromagnetic spectrum that we're now living in. Since 100 years ago, we have created such an electromagnetic soup with all the wiring and wireless now. I don't know. This experiment is too short to know how it's all going to turn out. But I think
mm-hmm.
I think that the potential for trouble is pretty large.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So anyway, so number one pick for me would be the lack of coherence, the
okay.
The opposite of harmony.
Okay.
In the vibrational sphere. And then on the physical side, it would be toxicity, malnutrition, and stagnation.
Okay. Can you break down toxicity? And for some people may just think, okay, well, I just drank something that was wrong. What?
Right. Well, toxicity, you can have a short-term problem or a long-term problem. You always, mm-hmm. in all issues, whether it's emotional or physical, you can create a problem by either a large event, sort of
mm-hmm.
like a hand grenade explosion in the room,
mm-hmm.
or you can have a long, slow drip kind of problem. single drop of water dripping on a same spot over and over and over. Individually, the drops are not very big, but after several years, they could either wear a hole in the rock or build up a stalagmite that reaches hundreds of feet.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, going to the answer, the toxicity definition, presence of things that shouldn't be there.
Mm-hmm.
In the modern days, all of the industrial toxins, the worst culprits are heavy metals, lead, mercury, cadmium. Those are probably the three worst.
And how do you attain those?
attain. Well, the worst culprit for mercury has been dentists.
Mm-hmm.
They actually, even though mercury, like, I don't know if you know this, but if you break a fluorescent tube in a room, you're
mm-hmm.
supposed to treat that like hazardous material situation. You're supposed to tape the door and call a hazmat crew to pick it up and take it away.
And what is this, that if you break a what?
Fluorescent tube.
Oh,
yeah,
a fluorescent light. Okay.
Yeah, fluorescent
really?
Light because, yeah, they use mercury vapor as the light source that's excited, and it's dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And when they ship the mercury to the dentists, they ship it in hazardous material containers. And then the dentist goes ahead and puts it into your mouth.
Well, first he takes the X-ray, which adds fuel to the fire there. And so now you had a story about that. I read online your story about that. Can you share with your story with mercury?
Oh, gosh. Well, my own story started. You mentioned that I came into the country from behind the Iron Curtain.
Mm-hmm.
I was really an innocent fellow, you know, like I grew up in a police state behind the big wall. I came out as a refugee, so
mm-hmm.
a big wide-eyed kid with dreams about freedom and
mm-hmm.
justice and all of that. After 3 months on the job, I had full coverage, full insurance. The first thing I did is I went to a dentist to have myself checked out.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew I needed one filling. There was one tooth that was bothering me. But by the time I was done with the appointment, the dentist had sold me on needing 12 fillings. And I trusted the guy. I thought, well, he's a professional. He knows what he's doing. I suppose I need this.
Mm-hmm.
What a silly situation.
Mm-hmm.
He just simply saw a mark that that would allow to, you know, it was all legit. I mean, he could by his standards of his profession say, well,
sure.
See on these X-rays, there are these weak areas, we need to improve on them. He didn't say improve on them by switching your diet or get more minerals in your food or whatever. He just proposed these mercury fillings.
Mm-hmm.
And then things went downhill quickly, you know. Within a few days after the first session, I had a breakout of cold sores on my lips.
Mm-hmm.
That was a sign that my immune system is under severe attack.
Okay.
But
from the mercury.
Yeah, but I didn't know it then. I wasn't educated in this. I was a systems analyst, management consultant. I didn't understand medical stuff then.
Yes.
And then within a few, few months, I started getting carpal tunnel syndrome, aches in my wrists.
Mm-hmm.
Then my feet started collapsing, plantar fasciitis. Then my back went. Within a year and a half, I was so bad I had to quit working in a physical job because I just couldn't handle it. I was falling apart. In 3 years, I had dental problems, gum recession, and periodontal problems. I didn't know it was caused by the mercury toxicity. I was just trying to get help for all of these problems that were starting to come up. And allergies set in, and more back pain. And like within 5 years, I was a wreck. I mean, really bad. You know, like I could not walk. I would have to roll out of the bed on all fours and then shuffle over to the toilet so that I could, do my job there and shuffle back. stuff like that.
Right. Right. Two questions come up for me on that, and one is, well, of course, what did you do about it? And then, but the first one before that is, what would you say? Why? And I tread softly with this, but why would you say that that happened to you, and then some other people, their bodies didn't react the same way? Do they react another way, but we just don't know it? Is it silent or what?
Yeah, excellent point. I think it's a case of triggers and thresholds, or to say it like a proverb, there's always the last straw that breaks a camel's back.
Okay.
If you could visualize this. You got this camel and you're fixing for a trip. And you just start loading bags of stuff on your camel. And at some point, the camel's starting to feel like, okay, that's enough. Say, let's just say that at 300 pounds, he can walk even uphill. With 400 pounds, he will only walk on flat ground. And at 600 pounds, the back breaks.
Wow.
And at that point, you don't have a tired camel. You have a broken camel.
I'm not laughing at the camel. I'm not laughing at you, okay?
No, it's okay. Laugh at me. Laugh with me. So the point being this. We all are born with certain level of toxicity in our bodies because it's being passed from the mother to the child. There are studies that document that the umbilical cords even of children up in the Arctic, to the Innu people who have never seen industry for thousands of miles around, are now born with 200 different toxins that they can detect in the umbilical cord blood of these children. So the National Geographic did that study. It was just a shocker to everyone. Anyway, the point being, nature is really wise. It knows that mother is a precious thing. A child is not. Meaning this, in the old days, you know, 200-300 years ago and older, a typical woman would have maybe 10-12 pregnancies, and only 4 or 5 of them would make it to adulthood. You remember that, right? You remember the statistics, how many children actually died in infancy or...
What year was this?
Oh, I don't know, 200-300 years ago.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I remember.
Yeah, you remember well. Okay, so what I'm
I remember
to
well.
Say, what I'm
I
trying
was there.
To say, what I'm trying to say is the following.
I know.
Especially the firstborn gets most of the toxic load that is being dumped out of the mother into the fetus.
Wow.
It was the most common thing for the firstborn to not make it. Well, these days, we save everybody. But guess what we're getting? We're getting the immune disease systems, immune system diseases. We're having things like autism in boys and fibromyalgia in girls and lupus and rheumatoid arthritis. And I could go on with all the different names that doctors pick for all this. Anyway, what I'm trying to illustrate is why me? Well, it was the gift that my mother gave me. My mother was working in slave labor during the war in some munition factories in horrible conditions, so she was toxic. So when I was born to her, I came with a gift, and then they gave me more gifts like vaccination that comes with significant toxic load. And then you go play with some toys that are painted with lead paint, and then you break a mercury thermometer and you play with that beautiful mercury balls. Have you ever done that in your young days?
No, play with the mercury balls?
Yeah, you must be too young. You know, when you get to play with mercury, it's just the most amazing thing. It's a metal that's liquid at room temperature. And it's
liquid.
It's liquid. It's the only metal that actually has its melting temperature lower than the typical room temperature. And
you were playing with it.
Yeah, we used to play with that. It was just
wow.
We didn't.
Well, it was fun, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, we didn't know. We played with paints. I remember washing. I remember washing things with gasoline and diesel. And,
But a new meaning to ignorance is bliss, right?
It was no bliss, I tell you.
At the moment, it was fun, though. That was blissful, you know?
Oh, totally. So anyway, what I'm trying to describe is that how you come into the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, your typical American life.
Mm-hmm.
Power generation, the coal-burning power plants, put 50,000 tons of mercury into the air every year.
Mm-hmm.
So if you live anywhere in the Northeast, you're downwind from a whole lot of coal burning, you're inhaling this stuff.
Right, right. Yeah, I was born in Philadelphia, and I know Pittsburgh is one of those places, right?
Yes.
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
So a lot of people living downwind, like Vermont and New Hampshire, the paradise, they're actually getting toxic exhalations from Pennsylvania way.
Yeah, yeah. So there I was
with plenty of load on my little camel. So when I got the mercury fillings in my mouth, that was the last straw.
Okay. All right, that was the last straw. And so what did you do about it? What happened?
Well, how much time should I spend on that?
No, I'm saying how did it bridge you? I mean,
I got broken, right? I mean, the camel's back is broken. I was broken. Mm-hmm. I had allergies. Severe allergies. Every spring for about 3 months, I wanted to scratch my eyes out. It was just terrible. I had weight gain. I had bad back. I had aches, pains everywhere. It was miserable.
Mm-hmm. And of course, all of this was attributed to the mercury?
Well, I didn't know it then.
Uh-huh.
I was chasing the problems. First, I went to the orthopedic surgeon to help me with the collapsing feet. Well, they just gave me cortisol injection and said, well, that should do it. Well, for 6 weeks, I didn't feel the pain, but it all came back again. They didn't deal with the structural problem. They just tried to paint over it.
Okay.
So then I went to chiropractors, and good guys. They would adjust me, and I would feel good for a few days. And then, of course, because my ligaments and discs and all of those tissues were weak from the poisoning, I would lose the adjustment. So I wanted to go back all the time, back to the chiropractor. So he would kind of hold me together. And then I tried different versions of physiotherapy, and then I started going to the naturopathic physicians, trying to deal with the allergies and all of that. I mean, I was slowly giving up on things. First, I gave up on the mainstream surgeries model. Then I gave up on the naturopathic model because it wasn't getting me anything anyway. And the main reason is this. Most medical thinking in North America is tactical, not strategic. They are trying to treat the symptoms, not the causes.
Okay.
You know, I showed up with an allergy, the guy was treating the allergy. I showed up with a bad back, the guy was treating the bad back.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't ask, well, what's causing this? I had to figure that out all myself. This was back in the 80s, 90s. This is before internet. So I did it the hard way. I was my own laboratory. I would take all kinds of experiments on myself.
Mm-hmm.
It was entertaining. But I did figure it out. I did figure it out that it was the heavy metals. I did figure out that it was the mercury. And then started doing something about it.
Okay.
So eventually I decided to quit the information technology because by that time I had studied so much about health and wellness that I started a business helping others. It's called Life Enthusiast. We actually have a website.
Yes.
Do you post it anywhere?
Yes, we're going to post it in the chat room. You can go ahead and give it right now. We're going to give it again a couple of times before.
Sure. Anyway, life-enthusiast.com.
Mm-hmm.
I started it back in the year 2000, and I've been helping people ever since. All of these different chronic disease conditions that that have symptoms like aches, pains, chronic fatigue, brain fog, anxiety, depression, manic and depressive, you know, all kinds of mental stuff, all manner of aches, pains, or weight gains or weight losses, cancers, all of that sort of stuff that the medical system doesn't handle well at all, because their perspective is focused on symptoms. And to paraphrase Einstein, you cannot solve a problem with the mindset with which you've created it. You cannot solve a medical problem at the level of its expression. Meaning that if you have a sore back, you need to look beyond that. It's not that the back is the problem. What is the cause of the cellular dysfunction that's making the back sore?
That's right.
And that's not what's going on in the current medical model.
Absolutely.
What they do is they give you a painkiller, as if lack of aspirin was the cause of a headache. Or as if lack of radiation and chemotherapy was the was caused, I should say it this way, as if breast cancer was caused by deficiency in radiation and chemotherapy. If you think that point through, it just has to rattle you. How can it be possible that these techniques are not part of our everyday life? Why don't we do more of it if it's so preventive and curative to all these complicated illnesses?
Absolutely.
Well, anyway, so that was toxicity.
Yes, that's toxicity. And we're going to move on to the others in a moment. We're going to take a break. You're listening to the Play Experience on Life Conversations Radio. Today we're speaking with Martin Patella, the life enthusiast, about taking responsibility for your health and well-being. Call in with your questions or comments, 347-426-3346, and press 1 on your keypad. You can get more information about Martin and the Life Enthusiast Co-op at www.life-enthusiast.com. That's ENTHUSIAST.com. We'll be right back.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life. Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Ah, the sound of children playing. Something about hearing children laughing and playing has a way of bringing us joy. When was the last time you played? No children, no work, just stop and took the time to tap into your inner joy. You're never too old to play. Successful people value their playtime. That's why Divine Arts Productions presents PLAY, Purposefully Loving and Appreciating You, a weekend specially designed with you in mind to help tap into the big kid inside. There'll be dancing, music, video games, pool parties, fireworks, and so much more. To register, go to iwillplay.org. That's iwillplay.org. Give yourself the gift of having fun. I will play, and I will see you there.
If you think depression is all in a person's head, you're right. It's a brain illness. And like other illnesses, it has symptoms. A person suffering from depression might feel sad, empty, or numb. They might sleep more or less, eat a lot, or not at all, or show little interest in participating in ordinary activities. Mood swings, including anger and sadness, are common. They're often tired and have a hard time concentrating or making decisions. Depression can make those who suffer from it feel hopeless. It can even lead to suicide. If you see the symptoms of depression, get that person to a doctor. With medical help, depression can be treated and suicide can be prevented. Learn how to stop depression from taking another life. Call SAVE, Suicide Awareness Voices of Education, 1-888-511-SAVE, on the web at save.org.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
I make my statement with enthusiasm. Now the answers will flow. I will do this as my universe conspires to assist me in achieving my goals, all those dreams deep inside I hold. Now as I break through the illusions of all that I fear, I embrace the reality that the Creator is here within me.
Well, we're back. We're back with Martin Patella, the life enthusiast on Life Conversations Radio, in the play experience. Before the break, we were talking about toxicity, and we were talking about the four main reasons for people causing people to be ill today. Martin, I wanted to ask you before you moved on, what you talked about tactical and strategic solutions to healthcare. When you're talking about that, are you speaking from the standpoint of the healthcare practitioner that they should do what they should use, or the person in daily life in terms of, you know, the listeners that are listening, what can they do on a daily basis for preventative medicine?
Yeah, excellent point. Well, using strategic thinking is pretty rare in our society. It's terrible. It's not being taught at schools. People are just simply taught to obey and do the tactical thing. To give you an example, we have something called the war on drugs. You know, we're chasing the young entrepreneurs who are trying to make some money standing on a street corner dealing in a highly desirable commodity. Why don't we ask a question? Why are the people seeking to disconnect their minds so much? Why are they in so much pain that they want to numb it out with stuff that they can either snort or smoke or slurp or whatever?
Right, that's right.
Right?
That's right.
So, war on drugs, what a stupidity. So, the same analogy I'll give you is war on cancer. When Richard Nixon declared war on cancer in 1971, how many billions of dollars have they raised and wasted on nonsense?
Right. That's more on anyway. Right.
Well, we have known since 1961, Dr. Linus Pauling got his Nobel Prize for medicine for his discoveries of the cause of cancer. We have known cause of cancer since 1960s. Well, 61 he got his prize. He published it earlier. And it's this. When you lower the presence of oxygen by 35% at the cellular level, the cell will switch from respiration to fermentation. And that's because when there's absence of adequate oxygen, there's no option for the energy generation to take place other than going from aerobic to anaerobic. And that's how you get cancer. All you have to do is figure out what causes the lack of oxygen at the tissue, and you're done.
You're done.
And so we actually know the answer to that, too. The absence of oxygen can happen either through presence of toxins or through pH imbalance. When the fluids go acidic, they lose their ability to carry oxygen. And there's your answer. If you're acidic, you know, the normal should be somewhere around 7.2 to 7.3. By the time you get down to 6.8, you're just a little tired. At 6.5, you're getting flu. At 6.0, you're getting chronic disease. At 5.5, you're cancer. And at 5.0, you're terminal.
Simple. Wow.
It's just like that. And this is known in alternative healing. This is a known fact. We have We have studies that support it, scientific information that supports it, but the mainstream medical just ignores it as if that wasn't there. They instead try to burn out and cut out and whatever the problems.
Well, so then I understand that really the way that you broke that down just now should be coined. You said it, and I heard you, but I need you to say it again, because the way that you broke that down and its simplicity is, and that's what I love. I love in this work, you know, that everything really is simple. You know, we make it complicated, and we, the people who want to find something else and have another reason for. But I really wanted you to break that down again, because
I will give you another example of the difference between strategic and tactical.
Okay.
If I'm going to find that I have rats behind my building,
yes,
I decide to deal with the problem. If I'm going to approach it at the tactical level, I'm going to buy some poison and lay it on the street, and I'm going to buy some traps, and I'm going to put them out there, and I'm also going to buy a gun, and I'm going to shoot at the rats.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to shoot at night, because the rats only come out at night, so I'm going to probably shoot a few neighbor's pets at the same time. I'm going to trap some raccoons, and I'm going to poison my neighbor's dog. But I will get some rats.
Mm-hmm.
What I will not get is to the core of the issue.
Mm-hmm.
If I want to go strategic, I need to find out what is feeding these rats.
Right.
I go find it. I'll find out that there's a restaurant just up the block that's putting out food scraps and garbage into the can that's feeding the rats. I'll take care of that, and they will either move away or starve.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the strategic approach. The strategic approach goes to the core of the issue. Like I gave you the example with the war on drugs, and I was describing it as what's making people so emotionally distraught and unhappy that they want to disconnect from reality.
Mm-hmm.
That is the whole cause of your entire drug problem.
Mm-hmm.
Or in America, we have this problem with too much credit. And we're trying to solve it with what? More credit. There's something wrong.
Right.
So strategic thinking is like leadership. Strategic thinking tells you what is important to do. Tactical thinking tells you things like, I'll go to a wonderful book. Stephen Covey, who recently passed on, wrote and published a book called Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. And there he describes the difference between management and leadership, which is the difference between tactical and strategic. The manager will teach the techniques, how to swing the machete and how to choose the best angle and how to motivate the troops and all of that. The leader will climb to the top of the nearest hill and says, hey guys, not to the southeast, you need to go to the southwest. The direction, the overall plan, the important. And I guess in war terminology we would have it as lose the battle but win the war.
Okay.
Right? The battles are the tactical bits. The battles are just a small picture.
Okay. I have an email question here I want to throw in here while you're talking about that. I've been diagnosed with cancer, oral cancer. What can I do now, as the doctor says it is aggressive and I don't want to do chemotherapy?
Well, so presence of toxins. Are there heavy metals nearby? Can we detox them fast enough? pH balance of the body fluids, can we deal with it soon enough, fast enough? We use metabolic typing as a method of determining of which foods make you acidic and which foods make you alkaline. And this is determined by biological individuality. This means that some people are alkalized by more protein and fat, some people, others, are alkalized by less protein and more carbohydrate. So in one person, the cure food is going to be carrot juice and salad. In another person, the cure is going to be flax seed and cottage cheese and fish, salmon, steak, and salad. And no sugar, no cake, no rice. So depending on the metabolic type or biological individuality, we would need to find the right diet for the person. Second thing we would have to get for them is presence of oxygen. So we would need to push oxygen, whether it's through ozone, through hydrogen peroxide, through stabilized oxygen. We need to push alkalinity. We can push that with mineral changes, baking soda and related minerals. And finally, rich pigments, the yellows, the reds, the things like curry and what is that spice called? Cardamom, I think it's called.
Yeah, cardamom, I've heard of that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and many others that are highly effective at being antioxidants because they will support the healthy function of the body. There is a special class of supplements. They are supporting apoptosis. Apoptosis is the natural shutdown of unwell or sick cells. So, you know, there are products for that. We have all of that available at Life Enthusiast.
Mm-hmm.
And
so
finally, gosh, detox, oxygen, pH balance. It's always the same points, but what are the specifics that's individualized?
Yes, yes. We're going to go ahead and just, we're listening to the Play Experience on Life Conversations Radio. We're speaking with Martin Patella, and we're talking about taking responsibility for your health and well-being. You can call in or email your questions or comments. You call in 347-426-3346 and press 1 on your keypad, or you can email ombasa@ombasa.com. I want to that really is what you just said, and again, I when you talked about earlier about the different levels, I think you were talking about at 6.0 something happens, and then when it gets to this, when you think about the conditions that people are in when they have cancer, when they get to that point where it's aggressive. What happens with the model that you were using about the toxicity, the malnutrition, the stagnation, and interference? Is that, do they kind of fail on all levels and they like check mark, or what actually happened here?
Well, sometimes you get so far in that you don't have enough time. To give an example, you're piloting a large ocean-going ship. And all of a sudden you're noticing that you're heading for an iceberg. And you say, oh, my gosh, we're heading for an iceberg. Turn this thing around. Well, the momentum you have may not allow you to actually avoid the collision because it's hard to turn this thing around. These issues took 20, 30 years to develop, and it's hard to turn it around quick.
Mm-hmm.
So to give an example, you know, if I'm lying on the sidewalk with a cut femoral artery, meaning that there's blood gushing out of my thigh because I got an injury, I would like you to come there with a cauterizing hot iron and just singe it closed, right?
Mm.
I want you to essentially cause me further injury to stop the bleeding. But that's not the right therapy for reversing the situation.
Okay.
So when it comes to this cancer, it may be smart to perhaps cut something away if it's gotten this far. What's not smart is to try and keep cutting and using that as the only means of dealing with the situation.
Sure.
It's necessary to understand what gave rise to that condition. Mm-hmm. Which is either presence of toxins or absence of nutrients or emotional disturbance or all of the above.
Okay, so the toxins are obviously with the toxicity. That was the,
yes.
That's the cause.
Yeah,
then the malnutrition, the absence of nutrients was the malnutrition. Now, what did that look like? Because they said that about my dad when his kidneys failed, that he was malnutritioned.
Right. Well, we're living in a bizarre time. We are using industrial methods to grow our food, so we're using fertilizers that push the food to grow fast. A tomato looks like a tomato, but it's actually hollow. I have a study on my desk that shows that carrots of today have only 30% of the minerals they had 50 years ago. So the food that we eat is grown in soils that are depleted, they're deficient, so the nutrients we're getting are inadequate. We're eating foods that are suspect and suspicious, genetically modified. Who knows how safe that is or isn't. I know that herbicides and pesticides certainly are no help. This person with the oral cancer, what was near that site? Was it perhaps mercury toxicity from dental work? Was it perhaps, maybe, I don't know, was he a tobacco chewer, maybe? If you keep a tobacco plug under your cheek, you can cause all kinds of disturbance. I don't know. I don't want to.
Yeah, it could be many things. Yeah, I understand.
The cancer will rise in the tissue with insufficient circulation, presence of toxins, and lack of oxygen. So
Okay. So that's where it gives its life. That's where it gets its life. Okay, and so the stagnation, when you say stagnation, what do you mean? Is that in the colon or where is that?
Well, it's everywhere. It's lack of movement, lack of circulation. It starts with sedentary lifestyle. It starts with not enough exercise.
Okay.
We are designed to work under load. We are supposed to walk 10 miles every day. We are supposed to carry things. We're supposed to do 10,000 steps a day. If we don't, there's not enough vertical movement to power the lymphatic system.
Wow.
The lymph are the fluids that are carrying the nutrients to and toxins away from individual cells between the cells and the blood system, the circulatory system. So if you could visualize an aquarium, and in the aquarium you have a pump, and the pump is causing the water to circulate, and a bubbler that's giving the oxygen to that. Well, if you shut off those two things, how long is it going to be for the oxygen levels to drop because the fish are pooping in the water?
Right.
It won't be too long before the aquarium has gone spoiled and toxic.
Okay, simple truth. Break it down.
Sure. How else are you going to explain it to a person?
Okay, that's it. That's it. So that's stagnation at its highest degree.
Right. So I need circulation, which is the opposite of stagnation. I need exercise.
Absolutely.
I need, visualize this, the lymphatic system doesn't have its own pump. The only thing that moves the fluids is the vertical motion of the body against gravity.
Wow.
Sort of like a bartender in a bar holding a shaker making a martini. Up, down, shake, 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 shake. Well, that's what you need. You need to walk.
Wow.
Or you need to have a mini trampoline if you're not walking. Or you need to find some way to bounce.
Yes.
So that's the main circulation. But even at localized levels, for instance, breast cancer, one of the biggest problems are underwire bras because they cut off circulation from the lymphatic system into the breast.
All right, ladies, burn those bras. We don't need those.
Well, you must spend at least 12 hours a day free, not wired and not caged.
Wow.
I mean, why would you put a band around your chest cutting off all the circulation? Think it over.
Do you remember
the girls in Africa, all those pictures that the travelers brought back in the 1920s or before?
Yes.
I mean, what were they wearing?
Right.
Not bra.
Yeah, and they look perfectly fine. perfectly fine. There's nothing wrong with them.
Yeah, well, it's a cultural thing. You know, we need to learn to accept that when the girl is before babies, the breasts are pretty, and then after babies, they're not. You know?
And they're perfectly fine. It is still perfectly fine. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's just not perky.
It's not perky, but it's fine. So, okay, let's move to interference. And interference would be considered what?
Well, we started with that, actually, I started with that.
Okay.
Imagine the thought forms. Cancer, mm-hmm. for instance, carries the emotional print of unforgiveness, not forgiving something or somebody. It's all. I don't want to point fingers at anybody because nobody deserves that, and yet we know that there's a pattern. People who get cancers are the nicest people. Like, you always wonder, how can she or he get cancer? They are such helpful, wonderful. It's the cancer personality. They are the nicest people, but they carry the emotion of unforgiveness.
And they hold everything to heart. That's right. Mm.
Yeah, and it's always, not always, it's often aimed at themselves.
Mm.
They may rail against their mother, father, brother, sister, somebody who trespassed against them, and they carry that. So anyway, that's an emotional disturbance. It's sort of like an arrow stuck in your back that just always irritates all the time. So that's the emotional disturbance, and then you can have a electromagnetic disturbance, like a cell tower in your neighborhood, or you may have an underground water stream running under your house.
Hmm.
And then the third thing is living ungrounded, not connected to the earth.
Hmm.
Here's the interesting thing. We are electric beings. All of the nerve impulses and all of the chemical activity that goes in our body, those are actually electric impulses. And the positive charge, electropositive, that's the oxidation. That's the charge that during a storm is up in the clouds, mm-hmm. and then there's the negative charge, electronegative, that's in the ground.
Mm.
And we are supposed to be walking barefoot on the ground, touching the earth, to pull in the missing electrons into our body through contact with grass and dirt and water.
Mm. Okay.
If we don't, we are out of balance.
Mm.
I could talk for hours about this.
Well, I won't hold you too much longer. We have a few more email questions, and then I have a question for you. You're listening to The Play Experience with Ombasa Sofira, and I'm talking with Martin Patella, the life enthusiast, on Life Conversations Radio, and we're discussing taking responsibility for your health and well-being. You can get more information on Martin at life-enthusiast.com. That's life-enthusiast.com. I saw a video that you did, Martin, that spoke about information. And in the video you were saying something about the problem of information being caused by our food being too sterile, and oh my goodness, when you were talking about that, it was really, I said, what? You mean, because you were talking about people cleaning the food too much, and something about having something live on the food when you...
Yes.
Please share more about that.
Tell you more? Okay, yes. So it goes something like this.
Yes.
In the old times, think 500 years ago, you would be somewhere out there, maybe on the seashore or maybe in the bush. You would pull out something that would look like a carrot out of the ground, and you would wipe it maybe by your hand, maybe on your, I don't know, clothing, whatever you might have worn, and you would start eating it right there. Mm. Maybe you would have swished it in a creek, but you would still eat it right there. The surface of that carrot would have all these microscopic organisms that live in the root system of the plant. They live at the interface of dirt and vegetation. And that stuff is called fulvic and humic acid, and in it live these bacteria that actually take apart
they make it possible for nutrients to be extracted from soil.
Mm.
So
okay.
When you eat that, you are repopulating, you are reseeding the garden that's on the inside of you.
Mm.
Because if you give this a thought, the pipe that goes from your mouth through the insides of you out into your anus, that pipe is actually the outside running through the inside of you. There's a tunnel from your mouth to your anus that's actually the outside where you put the food and stuff.
Right.
And that is the non-sterile part of you. That's where all these microbes live, and they need to work there to extract the nutrients so that it can be presented and passed to the sterile side of you through the small intestine into the bloodstream.
Wow, you really did your homework. So the inflammation, when you were talking about the inflammation coming from not having that?
Mm-hmm. Yes, so when your gut becomes too sterile, it is no longer able to extract the nutrients sufficiently. And also the villi, which is these little finger-like protrusions that are on the inside of your small intestine, it looks a lot like grass, really. And if you cut your grass too soon, I don't know if you've ever watched a tennis match from Wimbledon or someplace like that where it's played on grass, you will see that near the lines where the players walk around a lot, it's trampled down to bare dirt.
Mm.
Well, it's that sort of thing. It's called the brush border barrier, which is the electric charge that holds these finger-like protrusions called villi. It holds it together. Mm. And if that is worn down, the tension on that is too low, and so instead of allowing only fully digested free-form amino acids to enter the bloodstream, now we are allowing stuff to get through before it's ready. It's called leaky gut in common talk.
Wow,
and
that's
guts,
what,
your liver's
wow.
working overtime, you're getting infections, you're getting allergies, you're getting all kinds of overload.
And that overloads into the liver, which causes a lot of problems.
Yeah, like, for instance, hot flashes.
Mm-hmm.
You see, your liver is supposed to decompose the excess estrogen, but if the liver is already working at capacity and there's a hit of the extra estrogen, all of a sudden the liver can't cope and you get hot flash.
Wow. Wow, and this is so funny because we were talking about this the other day about it's the same. This leaky gut, this issue with it not the junk getting in the bloodstream, the problem with the liver, all of that happening, and people they diagnose something called PMS, which has the same symptoms as menopause, and really it sounds like the same thing that everybody, because even men I see them having heart flashes and going through. So it's not just one particular group of people. It is a symptom of what happens when you allow things to go haywire.
Right.
Or get out of control.
Yeah, so on one side of this issue, you have the liver capacity of dealing with the excess estrogen. On the other side is you have pseudoestrogen or phytoestrogen or plant-based estrogens, meaning estrogen-like food that comes into the body. It comes from whole grains.
Okay.
Or actually, whole grains, whole seeds. All of those things are protected by its own hormonal system that, I'm not going to explain the whole thing, but the issue is that when you drink soy milk or when you eat a whole wheat bread or whole grain, anything, you're getting too much estrogen into the body.
Mm.
So if you have a man who's losing his the get up and go power, staying power, and if he's eating whole grain food, you need to tell him, hey, brother, you need to consider that whole grain needs to be sprouted before it can be eaten.
Okay. So you could sprout.
Yeah, very well put. There's an answer to the sprout. In the sprout, yep.
Okay. All right, so that I think I got that. So the main thing that they can do for this, of course, is the emotional aspect of things, and it is for sure what you're putting in your body and being cognizant of that. And those things, do you have a place on your website or a place where they can go, or this is what you do? You coach them through what is good for them based on their, what did you say? Well, you know, don't tell me it's what is it? Environmental? No. What is it?
The individual, biological. I call it biological individuality.
Yes, biological individuality, and I think that's really, really a very powerful key, because everyone is different.
I'll give you an example. A lot of African people that ended up in America, they were, their ancestors were living on the coast. They were living as fishermen in the tropical areas. They would catch fish. They would eat birds' eggs, turtle eggs. They would live with coconuts. They would eat lots of coconut oil and meat and all of that, and they would catch fish, eat that, catch birds, eat that. Not a wheat field, corn field in the site.
Not a wheat field. Yeah, that's the truth.
Yeah, you brought them into America and you put them on a grit diet. No wonder they were sick, right?
And pass that down. And pass that down for sure. Okay, I have two more questions here. One, will you finish with that point? Because I want to get everything you have on that.
So let's go back to the gut problem. So we need to repopulate the right living creatures. Because when I go buy a carrot today, it's been washed in all kinds of stuff, including chlorinated water. It's sterile, clean. There's nothing living on that carrot. I now need to make up for that sterility. I need to actually take a supplement that has that. It's called fulvic and humic acid, and then there's a whole bunch of Latin names for all kinds of creatures, like bacillus and lactobacillus and this and that. No point quoting all of that. We need to have those creatures living inside of us. If we don't, we suffer.
Is that probiotics?
Yes, probiotics is a name for it in general.
Okay.
And that means pro-life, supports life.
Sure. Good stuff.
But it gets complicated. Probiotics live on prebiotics. Prebiotics are fructooligosaccharides, which is stuff that's in plants. That is not really food to humans, but it's food to the bacteria. So we need to have that in our food in order to sustain them so that they can sustain us.
So how are we figuring out how we get all of this now?
Well, we were adapted to the natural terrain. We pulled that carrot out of the forest and dirt and ate it dirty.
Right, but how are we going to get it now?
Well, it gets complicated, but
Let's make it simple.
We have it figured out, I can assure you.
Oh, okay. So we come to life-enthusiast.com.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, there it is. There's a road. There's a world paved to heaven. All right. We can come there. That works for me. So I have, what can we do? Is there a way to speed up our metabolism? Are there any special herbs or food? That's from email.
Yes, we can. The most common deficiency in people is thyroid dysfunction. That is the most common. Here are some symptoms of thyroid sluggishness: dark circles under the eyes, lifeless hair, persistent weight gain that won't go away, painful periods, bloating, PMS, what else could I come up with? Well, that'll do. Oh, yeah, cold hands and cold feet. Okay? Mm-hmm. If you have that set of problems, you definitely have deficient thyroid. You need to get yourself on iodine. I gave that example of people living by the sea. They ate a lot of seaweed. Seaweed is rich in iodine, and if you're missing that, you need to supplement it, because there's no iodine in the foods grown in California.
Okay.
So that's one, for instance. So you can tweak up, speed up the metabolism by speeding up your thyroid, because the thyroid is the thermostat that sets the burn rate. It's the rate at which, how many calories you're going to burn up just sitting still or sleeping.
Right.
And then the second thing to deal with the weight issue is understanding your biological individuality. If you are eating according to your metabolic type, you're going to lose all the excess weight because your body's putting away the calories it cannot burn. The insulin's function is to create reserves. It's not primarily aimed at managing sugar. It's actually aimed at creating reserves for lean times. And so if there is anything excess in your bloodstream that it can put away, it'll put it away into a fat reserve.
Mm.
You know, okay. These days it's really hard to starve. You just head out into the strip mall and there's another hunting opportunity.
Right, but you're still malnutrition because you're not getting the nutrients.
Yeah, you may be overfed but undernourished. Sure.
That's right. Okay. All right. So I think they have that answer. Thank you. The next one is what does he feel about the system eating for your blood type? Okay.
Oh yeah. Well, it's a wonderful thing, Peter DiAdamo. And his father researched it and published it, and they essentially associate blood types with lectins, which mm-hmm. are specific hormones that we have in our body that gives us the ability to digest a certain type of food. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, if you're blood type B, you don't have the lectins for digesting shellfish and pork. Wouldn't you know it? Most Jewish people are blood type Bs.
Mm. Wow.
Here's the funny thing. They shouldn't eat pork, not because of some high order whatever, but because they can't digest it.
Right.
And similarly, if you're blood type O, your biggest gap is in the grains part of things. So
mm-hmm.
you will more likely than not have wheat allergy or gluten intolerance or stuff like that. And so on. So there are specific gaps in each one of the blood types, and so it tells you which foods you probably won't do well with. But it's not the same thing as the metabolic type, because at the blood type, it don't tell you how to arrange the food on your plate, whether you should be carbo dominant or protein dominant, or it doesn't tell you specifically whether you should eat the high purine food, low purine food, blah, blah. You know, I can go into the technicalities. So we take the blood type into the perspective, but it's not the whole thing.
Okay. All right. Good stuff. This is really good stuff. We're speaking with Martin Metella with the Life Enthusiast Co-op, and the website is life-enthusiast.com. Now, do you have an event coming up in September, or do you have an event coming up?
Huh. Well, on September 11th, strange date that, I will be doing a metabolic typing seminar online on the globalteleclass.com. I don't think they will post that until the when. It should be posted by now. If you go to globalteleclass.com and look at the health seminars as opposed to the other two types, which is business and personal development, you should find Martin Petella, P-Y-T-E-L-A, as one of the presenters, September 11th, and you can book on that.
That's a Global Teleclass. No dash in there. It's Global Teleclass, T-E-L-E, class.com.
Yes.
Okay, so what do you want to leave the listeners with today that we haven't covered?
Oh, we've covered most everything. I think love conquers all. That is the highest force in the universe. You really need to understand that kindness is the way to go. I would say if you see people either agitated, anxious, or depressed and apathetic, what you're seeing is the effects of incorrect diet. Like, for instance, depression is part of becoming overly alkalized. Anxiety mm-hmm. is part of becoming overly acidic. And it's caused by eating certain types of food. And it can be corrected in not a very long time.
Okay.
Anyway, so that's something I would say. what else could we say to people? There's hope.
Oh, good. We need hope. Okay. In order for us to purposely love and appreciate ourselves, we need hope, and vice versa. Okay.
Yeah, we're massively screwed up, but some of us will probably do okay.
Well, there's hope when people love like you love, Martin. I really appreciate you. I tell you, you shined out for me, and I'm so happy I answered the call and called you. I tell you. I really appreciate
it. I don't know, actually, how you found me, but I'm happy you did.
It's okay. I think I got a stray email that linked you like a leaf. It came down in my email box. And I usually don't look at anything that I don't know what it is, and it was just perfect. So thank you so much for joining me today, and I will for sure be at your workshop. I will be there front and center with bells on, because you have a wealth of knowledge that we can't miss out on. So thank you for joining me, and you give your wife a big hug for allowing you to come and share some time with us in the playground of life. Thank you so much. All righty. Take good care. Much love to you always.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Yes. Well, thanks to everyone in our Play family online, on the phone, listening in the archives. All is truly one, and one is truly love. I truly thank you for yet another beautiful experience called Play, and I'm looking forward to hanging out on the playground next week, and there's no telling who we will have on here. never know. So just look forward to being with you, and you can look forward to being with me. Ombasa out.
At what price freedom? What are you willing to give up right now for your freedom? Are you willing to give up this precious freedom itself in order to be free? Are you willing to have the freedom to be disciplined and the discipline to be free? Walking. Walking along the shore. Stepping forward. Stepping forward. In the waves. The waves. That embrace. The waves that allow. The waves that accept. And as we move towards remembrance, remembrance of all that we are, remembrance of why we are. All that we seek to remember is right here. And as we move on this journey into the sun,
we realize that the tools we need, we indeed possess. We honor the fact there is no longer any need to look outside of ourselves, for we possess the tools of love. We possess the tools of trust, honor, and wisdom, all of which have, up to this point, been sought after outside of ourselves. We honor ourselves now for being divine. Recognition of this will soar our souls to the highest realms of this universe and beyond. As we move forward on our journey,
I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.